Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings. Today we're going to be talking about stuff. Stuff as in things. But the title of our conversation today is called Men and Their Stuff. So recently I was thinking, you know, about life and things. And I realized my world perspective is based on the fact that A, I'm me, and second, I'm a woman. So there's a certain way that we are conditioned to think as women in the world, women in the word, men in the world, and men in the word. And I started to wonder, what is it like for a man who is in the world to then be called into the word? What is that transition? What does it look like? What does the world tell you, babe? What does the world tell you this is a man versus what God tells you this is a man? And the reason we're calling it men and their stuff is because there are certain things men are told give them value. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things women are told give them value. So I just want us to go into that and kind of expose those things for true value and true purpose.
Yeah. Okay. So this is going to be quite interesting. Let's say deep, because what women don't understand mm-hmm. about the way we are raised. Mm-hmm. You guys are raised with two options. Your first option is you need to be this successful 21st century woman and, you know, be educated and all these things.
Make money.
Do the things that your mothers were not able to do. Mm. You know, so you're told that and it's your option number one. But then you've got an option number two, which is, if that doesn't work out, find a rich husband who can take care of you and, you know, make sure that, you know, things are okay with you.
Yeah.
You know, in our side, it's a bit different. We are raised with one option. Be successful,
yeah.
Make money, and take care of your family. Mm. You know, so we only know that.
Mm.
And at some point, that begins to define us as men.
Mm.
You know, and that's why even our suicide rates are much higher, where you'll find men cannot deal with failure, you know. And, you know, some failures are temporary. But because for us, failure is so permanent, you don't get to speak on the table as a man if you're not successful. Mm. You can be older, you know, and you can be invited, but on the table, your voice will not have.
You mean like impact. family meetings or community meetings?
Family meetings. Mm-hmm. I'm saying community meetings. I'm saying platforms, be it at work. You know, men who are successful are given
a voice.
And men who are not successful, especially in families, and you'll see it.
Mm.
You'll see that the man who everyone listens to is the man they feel can actually do something about the problem.
Mm.
And doing something about the problem is you have the money to put down on the table.
Mm.
And it's a very dangerous thing for a man, especially even when you become a believer. And I always say this when I'm talking to other young men in marriage, that for me, the most liberating thing I ever heard in my marriage actually came from you, where we were going through financial stress and I really believed it was on me to make a plan.
Mm.
And I'll never forget you telling me that, yes, you want God to come through for us, but specifically, you don't want me to do anything that will take us out of God's will. Because I was about to take a job and I knew that, like, this is not something God has told me to do, but it will put money and food on our table, you know. And my wife told me, Danny, you are not my provider. God is our provider. And I think that was the first time I ever heard that.
Wow.
As a man, because as a man, wow, I am told that I am the provider.
Wow.
I have to make it happen.
Mm.
And that pressure is just so much that men crack when that cannot happen. Because to men, we've become our ability to provide.
Mm.
We are not people. Mm. We are bags.
Mm.
We are commodities.
Before you go further, I want to ask a question because I've seen this happening to me.
Mm.
So when you're in a smaller car, you know, earlier years of marriage and you've got your cute little car,
yeah,
I would never get this reaction from other women. Now, let me tell you guys a story. Once we got a bigger car or a better car, whatever you call it, I'm really bad with gadgets and equipments and all of that. But I knew that this car is the type of car that more people like than the previous car. I started to notice that whenever I was turning a corner or slowing down, there would always be a young woman, like, you know, leering at me with her lashes because she didn't know whether I was a man or a woman.
Mm.
She was just seeing the car. And for the longest time, I didn't understand, what is it about this car that makes these girls so weird? And then once they realize I'm a woman, it's kind of like, oh, what a waste. What a waste of batting the eyelids, you know? And so I wanted to ask you, because that was so objectifying for me, that you would jeer and look and leer at my car. And then you notice I'm a female and you're like, oh, whatever. And I thought, what is that? Is it the car? What? So I started to realize that the aim is the person in the car. And it was speaking about society and the fact that a man that is able to provide is more attractive for practical reasons. It's not always terrible reasons, but it's sending a message to that male in society that they must. Do people treat men differently when they have nicer stuff?
Yes, yes. Look, a lot of men are invisible to society until they have succeeded, you know. So what you begin to see is, and this is why when people say men change, I feel like that's a female perspective of men. Now, I'm saying this because men have not spoken for a long time. So a lot of men, even me, there are things I'm discovering about my journey as a man that I didn't hear from other men. Because men keep quiet. Men don't tell you, this is why I messed that up. Or this is, I wasn't ready for success. And I'm going to speak about success where I feel a lot of men just don't know the amount of attention they will get once they are successful. Because once you've got maybe some money
to some stuff,
you are now seen as a way out or as provision. So it's not really about you as a person, but the fact that that car communicates that you are able to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So a lot of men, and especially, I've shared this with the boys a lot. Once I bought a certain type of car and went to the petrol station, suddenly the treatment was different.
From the other men or the other women?
From the other men. It actually starts with men.
Okay.
In South Africa, we have this thing of groot man, where people are like, hey, groot man, hey, big boss. Suddenly, men acknowledge you
as big boss.
As big boss, why they're seeing the car you're driving in, you know? So it's very rough, and a lot of men don't even know they're going through that. They don't even... Oh, let me not say no, but they don't acknowledge that I am suddenly accepted because I have
stuff.
So it's not I who am being accepted, but my stuff opens certain doors for me.
So with that kind of conditioning and society telling you, hey, you've got stuff, therefore you have value, how do most men deal with the gospel? When Jesus comes and says, I don't need your stuff, I just want you. Are you even in tune with yourself when you've been told for so long, your value is your stuff, your value is your stuff? Do you know that you have value without the stuff? And what does that do to the walk with Christ? Because it's so opposite. It's about you and he that is within you and a purpose given by from birth, from the belly, before the stuff. Mm-hmm. So how do you reconcile how society sees you versus how Christ sees you?
I think it's hard, and a lot of men are failing at that. Mm-hmm. If you look at brothers in the church, mm-hmm. you'll find that because on the one hand, they've been conditioned to see their value in what they have, mm-hmm. when they don't have, they break.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes God becomes a means to success.
Mm-hmm.
You are praying that because you're now a child of God, you will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm.
And it's very hard. And I've seen in many cases, even with myself, the first few years of our marriage, the Lord stripped us of the stuff.
Mm.
And I had to really love myself without the stuff and understand that I'm my husband without the stuff. Understand that I'm here to provide spiritually, emotionally, physically, and financially. So the focus for us as men is in financially. I mean, there are families who don't care if they don't hear from you, but if financially you're supporting, they won't call you unless there's a financial need. So we sometimes, I've had convos with men, and as we're speaking, they begin to realize, oh, so that's what I'm actually feeling. I'm feeling like an ATM. I'm feeling like a means to an end. I am seen as a problem solver and not necessarily a person. Yeah.
What's interesting when I think about everything that you're saying is how we often speak about how we're so nice to other people, but we're not as nice to each other within the homes, within the marriages. Mm-hmm. And the example we often use is, okay, so I'm going to speak to the ladies. You've got a best friend. She loses her job. And you say, no, come, friend, you can crash on my couch. And every day when you come back from work, you say, friend, how did the job applications go? And she starts crying. She says, Letitia, nothing is coming through. It's day 15. Nothing is coming through. What you're most likely going to do is sit next to her on the couch and say, my friend, you've got this. You're going to get it right. Don't worry. We're going to get through this. I've got this plan, that plan, and you're smart. You're wonderful. You affirm her, and then you begin to tell her that this too shall pass. Now switch it up. Let's say that person who's lost their job is your husband.
Sure.
With these ideas that the man must provide, the man must know what's happening, the chances of us being that loving for that long diminishes greatly, because them losing their job is directly affecting your pockets. As a result, they are no longer a human being. They are an ATM that has just closed. And so the same level of support that your friend needed when she lost her job, because one can lose provision, material provision, for a slew of reasons. He didn't have to do anything. The times we're living in, layoffs are happening at the drop of a hat. Instead of supporting our people and encouraging our people and affirming our people, saying, you can do this, you didn't do anything wrong, you're a hard worker, we're going to get through this, because we're directly affected, that material, that stuff is affected. It's hard for us to be that covering, that strong arm in the times of weakness. Do you, as men, feel supported by societies when things are... Where can a man go when the job isn't there anymore?
I think that's probably the saddest reality. Most men can't even go to the people they helped when things fall apart for them. Because if you look at it carefully, it's almost like a tower, right? Where there are people on top. And if it crumbles, there's no one left for them. You know, they're husbands who have raised stepchildren, who've done so much and given back so much. But by the time where they find themselves without provision, immediately they're seen as bad husbands. Immediately they've seen as having failed. There's an expectation from the in-laws that, you know, I gave you my wife, you or my child. You are meant to provide for my child. Instead of it being seen as man, everyone, male or female, will go through financial hard times. Male or female, things will not work out at some point. So I would like to really encourage women and families to be sensitive to the fact that before a man even goes out there and tries to fight to make a living, they're already under pressure too. You know, we as men are hard on ourselves. And that's why many men give up. A lot of men are not trying because the fear of failure has gripped them so much, because they know if they don't have, they are to society nothing.
So then when we look in scripture and Jesus comes to all these men, all these disciples, and says, oh, leave everything and follow me. What are we talking about here? Leave everything and follow me. What does that look like for a man today? Because Christ would not make you the provider. He would say, I'm the provision. Yeah. So how does a man receive that? The fact that God loves you and values you whether you've got stuff or not.
So being one of the people who actually had to leave law to pursue ministry, for me it was rough. It was literally, it felt like I was being called to failure, you know. And I, even the reaction I had from family members who treated it like, dude, you are leaving a secure source of income to go do what? To to follow God, so to what? Be in church, you know. And it's rough. It's really hard. And it's a challenge for us as men, you know. And I would like to encourage men, especially those who are starting the journey. It's not in all cases where God calls you out of your area of profession. But if you are in that position where you are really battling because you know God is calling you to walk that journey to, you know, to give up your source of income or what is perceived in society as a solid source of income, you need to trust God, you know. As is in our case, the Lord is faithful, and He will, He might not do it the way you thought He has to, but He is able to be your provider.
You know, I'm thinking about Jesus and how Jesus came as the Son of God, as God made flesh and the King of Kings, and they saw Him in the stars. This is some serious stuff when Jesus was born. But He wasn't born to material riches. He was born, you know, in a place of servanthood. He was born to a carpenter, you know, etc. And Jesus had to stand before these Pharisees, right? And had to tell people, I am the Son of God, and I came to deliver the world. And as a man, that context that, you know, Danny has just given is hardly ever considered. And that's why he looked a little wonky, apart from the Jewish culture of the time. You are saying you are the Son. What do you have?
You're a carpenter?
Are you a carpenter's child? Yes, you're coming here riding on a donkey. What do you have? And oftentimes when I think about men and their stuff, the question comes to mind, was Jesus' worth determined by the donkey he rode in on? When we keep looking at people, men, women, whatever, based on their stuff, then Jesus has no value because he rode in on a donkey.
I'll go a bit further, right? We've got two issues happening here, the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam, after they messed up, there was a curse spoken over him that, you know, he's going to eat from the sweat of his brow. And I feel that that's really when work became an idol to us.
Men.
To us as men, yes. And a lot of us don't even know that our idol is actually our curse. You know, where you need to go into the identity of the second Adam, where it's not your work, your sweat. You know, being self-made is this big thing now. You know, I'm a self-made man. But when you look at Jesus, Jesus was like, nope, I do what my Father told me to do. You know, He was coming from an inherited value
mm.
that was not just financial.
Mm-hmm.
Even though his father was the King of Kings,
yep.
even though his father was the Lord of Lords, but he himself didn't feel the need to walk in material blessings.
Mm.
And I believe as a man, my biggest challenge was making that switch to say, and I also noticed that once that switch was made, God began to bless us because the blessing did not determine who we are. The stuff, I almost felt like I knew my wife loves me for who I am and not what I have, because we've had nothing. You know, we've prayed empty fridge, and there wasn't that pressure to say, if you don't have, you're not a man anymore.
Mm. To the man that can't tithe right now or that can't give offering because they just simply don't have stuff.
Yes.
What do you think the Lord would want to say to that person?
I think you can't give what you don't have. You need to receive from the Lord the fullness of your identity. Because sometimes the reason God doesn't want to bless you is he knows that your blessings could kill you. A lot of you men, once your car is a Range Rover and all these slay queens are after you, you'll forget that you're a man of God, because suddenly you have the attention that you never had. So let's prepare men. As a man, receive your identity from God. Accept that your value does not just come from how you can perform financially and in society.
And also, if you're in a place where you can't pay tithe or give offering, God wants more than that. God wants your life. God wants your time, even if it's just in the secret place. Even if you can just serve somewhere. That's the equivalent of saying so many men have been told that we need their stuff, that the emotional door of the family is completely shut. It's completely void because you've been told all your family needs is provision. Your family has been told all they need is provision. So something is missing in the home, but emotionally you're not there. Spiritually, you're not covering your family. Surely a man who doesn't have stuff can still provide spiritually.
Yes.
And pray over the home and cover the children and be available emotionally. We need you. And I'm going to say this as a woman. Men, we need you for so much more than just your stuff. And that is from God. God will bless you, but he needs you to know that you have value before any other stuff is added.
Amen. And I just want to say to all the men out there, not God loves you. God sees you. Even when the world has deleted you and you might be a David, a shepherd somewhere, and you're thinking you are insignificant, God sees you and he has a role for you to play in his kingdom. Stay blessed from the Vambilis. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.